Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. North Korea is one of those fortress countries where even routine information is hard to come by. It's even more so today as sensational reports circulate that Pyongyang's longtime strongman leader, Kim Il-sung, has been assassinated by gunmen who then fled to sanctuary in China. The only official claims of Kim's death have come from South Korea, where Defense Minister Lee is quoted by UPI as saying the American CIA also believes it is almost certain Kim is dead. U.S. officials won't or can't confirm that report. Lee is also quoted saying Kim could be alive and in a power struggle. More on these confusing reports from Gordon Joseloff in Tokyo.
Rumors of Kim Il-sung's death first began circulating among South Koreans in Tokyo over the weekend. Then this morning, South Korea's defense ministry said Kim's death was announced by North Korean loudspeakers along the demilitarized zone separating the two Koreas. A U.S. military spokesman said U.S. troops along the border heard no announcement and that all was normal. With mounting denials from North Korean sources, analysts both in Japan and South Korea began their speculating. Some thought the unusual loudspeaker announcement and no official word from Pyongyang indicated that there's a revolt in the North Korean military. Perhaps, they said, by those opposed to Kim Il-sung's long-held plan to turn power over to his son, Kim Jong-il. One Japanese report quoted a North Korean source as saying all would become clear tomorrow, when Mongolia's president is scheduled to arrive in the North Korean capital and be greeted by Kim Il-sung. Gordon Joseloff, CBS News, Tokyo.
This is John Schrayen in Peking. A few telephone calls have been getting through to Pyongyang from here. The people reached, mostly foreign diplomats and trade officials, say that everything appears calm and normal in the North Korean capital. The Chinese Foreign Ministry denied reports today that the alleged assassins of Kim Il-sung had escaped to China. A ministry statement called the reports fabrications and said they are utterly groundless. At the North Korean embassy here, a smiling and apparently relieved diplomat told me that Ambassador Sin In-ha had telephoned Pyongyang and that Kim is in good health. Said the embassy official, the stories of Kim's death are false. John Schrayen, CBS News, Peking.
Richard Holbrooke, a former Assistant Secretary of State for East Asian Affairs, says North Korean politics have long been shrouded in mystery.
All the foreign intelligence efforts on North Korea never found the kind of factionalism which this event might suggest. That isn't to say it didn't happen. It's only to say that if it did happen, it would be an example of how little we really know of what goes on inside that strange, distant place.
So for now, about the best the news agencies and government intelligence services can do is keep a close ear on Pyongyang radio. From Beirut, a report on state radio that for the second day in a row, Israeli warplanes bombed Palestinian guerrilla positions near Sidon in southern Lebanon. There's been no official confirmation. Two Palestinians have gone on trial in West Berlin for the bombing last March of a German-Arab friendship club. They're also suspects in the LaBelle disco bombing, which killed two American soldiers and a Turkish woman. Derek Blakely reports.
The trial began amid unusually tight security at the Moabit Criminal Court in West Berlin. 35-year-old Ahmed Hazi is accused of blowing up the German-Arab Friendship Society here last March, causing $250,000 damage and injuring seven people. Prosecutors charge that Hazi and an accomplice received explosives and instructions for the attack from the Syrian embassy in East Berlin. It's believed the attack was planned by Hazi's brother, Nazar Hindawi, who was imprisoned in London last month for trying to blow up an Israeli airliner at Heathrow Airport, also using Syrian-supplied explosives. The British retaliated for that by breaking diplomatic relations with Syria, and West German officials say they're exploring that option and others if Syrian involvement is proven in the West Berlin bombing. Derek Blakely, CBS News, West Berlin.
In London, three Americans once held hostage in Lebanon have joined religious leaders to discuss ways to free those still held. Dan Revive reports.
The key word from the Church of England officials who set up today's talks is humanitarian. Church envoy Terry Waite aims to continue his humanitarian efforts to free Western hostages in Lebanon, as opposed to the secret U.S. contacts with Iran. Waite has never said whether he knew about the links with Iran, but is likely to be pressed on that subject at a news conference today. When the Reverend Lawrence Martin Jenko arrived yesterday, he said weapons should not be exchanged for captives. Better they should remain in captivity, he said. The Reverend Benjamin Weir, the first of the Americans released, that was September of last year, arrived today and spoke of humanitarian concerns.
We'll be talking together about the situation, trying to see if there's anything new that needs to be done.
The third American meeting with Terry Waite and other church representatives today is David Jacobson, released 2 weeks ago. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
Those controversial U.S. arms shipments to Iran continue to cause big problems for President Reagan. Even Secretary of State Schultz, a team player, calls the White House operation debatable. More from Chris Kelly.
President Reagan faces another critical decision on the administration's secret dealings with Iran, and that is exactly how much to reveal about them in hearings scheduled later this week. An indication came from Admiral John Poindexter, the president's national security advisor, who said there are many details the administration still wants to keep secret. House Democratic leader Jim Wright says he doesn't believe the administration has the right to claim executive privilege in the affair because it doesn't apply. But despite the calls for accountability, right now, the White House indicates it will resist making all the details public. Chris Kelly, CBS News, The White House.
The family of Eugene Hassenfus, sentenced to 30 years in a Nicaraguan prison for gun running to Contra rebels, hopes to meet Nicaragua's Vice President Sergio Ramirez today when he visits Madison, Wisconsin. Although Managua's justice minister has ruled out a pardon for Hassenfus, Ramirez told CBS News in Atlanta this morning that a pardon remains a possibility, but it's up to President Daniel Ortega. The Philippine justice minister said today two suspects are being sought in last week's politically explosive murder of a labor leader, but he had to retract an earlier announcement that one had been arrested. The general strike called in Manila today to protest the killing had little impact, as Rick Fredrickson reports.
Militant workers made some noise in Manila today, but fell far short of causing major disruptions. Organizers called for the strike to demand justice for the slaying of Rolando Olalia, their union leader assassinated last week. Some roads were blocked by protesters, factories hit by work stoppages, schools were ordered closed as a precaution, but the strike never had the support of other labor groups. Even though today's strike fizzled, the militants are now planning a national day of mourning for Thursday, the day of Olalia's funeral. Rick Fredrickson for CBS News, Manila.
In Seattle, the Lockheed Shipbuilding Company has started locking out some 900 union workers for refusing to swallow wage cuts of as much as $7 an hour. Gold prices are plummeting in London by more than $14. The afternoon fixing set at $392.75 an ounce. The dollar is also lower. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are down over 8 points at 1865.48. The time, 10 minutes past 7.